25. It's hard to believe we're that far along in the book of Proverbs, but we are working our way through first Sunday of every month. Proverbs 25. And I just, while Cindy was sharing, I was just thinking, you know, it is a battle that we face, but it's a one that we get to participate in. It's an honor. We're fighting for the Lord, with the Lord. And guys, when you come to church on Sunday, that's like game day, okay? So the enemy is going to be doing everything they can to ruin your day from the get-go, okay? Literally, not to try to get you to church physically, family, whatever you want. It's all going to come to a head. So keep that in prayer, as well as Wednesday coming up. It's the same day with the kids program, because what we do in the community for the Lord on Wednesday is big. So the enemy, they hate that. Anytime you're teaching anybody the Word of God, especially a lot of people that don't know much about it, I mean, it's huge. It's huge. So we need to raise up walls of protection. We need to, as participants of it, realize kind of what's taking place and our part in it. And as we're going to see in some of the Proverbs today, that Solomon likes to mention, is that just because somebody has a certain action towards us doesn't mean we have to have the same reaction. So as we start Proverbs 25, let me ask you, are you looking for ways to survive today? Kind of like I was talking about, and I'm not going antelope hunting today, okay? How to navigate the complexities of life, either your job, relationships, family, school, money. Keys to living in a world where nothing seems to fit or go right or is just plain wrong. Well, that's where the book of Proverbs come in. We have wisdom literature given by the wisest, richest man in the world. And wisdom means living skillfully according to God's way. And how do we do this? By following what God's written down for us. And why do we do this? He created man. He alone knows what's best for each and every individual made, okay? He knows. It includes essential concepts, but not limited to understanding, instruction, and knowledge, words we see a lot in the book of Proverbs. In fact, some of my favorites, I'm just going to list them, not read them. Proverbs 1:7, 4:23, 23:23. Certain verses or concepts or truisms that help clarify what you behold, why, and where to go in life when you have issues. And life takes on meaning when you follow these things despite of what's going on all around you. Proverbs in God's Word holds the answers to everything you will ever want and need. I guarantee it. Solomon wrote most, and he had, because he had the most, and guys, he knew the most. The wisest man who ever lived, okay? He knew the most. God granted him not only wisdom, but he gave him a hearing heart. I love that. He gave him a hearing heart. Not just some pie-in-the-eye ideas. He thought it out. He sought it out. He tested the ideals. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. The things that pertain individually and collectively that do make a difference in the world. And so why do they matter? Because life matters, and the one who made it is real. Okay, life matters. But except from Jesus, it really has this whole different meaning. It really is lacking. God has the answers to every question asked, although when, how, and where he reveals it is his prerogative. So before we get into these Proverbs, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we always thank you for bringing us here and bringing us to your word. It's the right place to be, Lord. And I just thank you for giving us your word. As we read these Proverbs, these wise sayings, Lord, let us realize that they're general principles that hold in a perfect world. But Lord, let us learn from them because there's a whole lot to them. So Lord, we just pray all these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. So I titled this prerogative. I kind of took it out of the second verse, or the third verse here. No, the second one. And the definition of prerogative is an exclusive right or privilege earned by virtue of rank, office, or the like. Certain words that go along with it are privilege, entitlement, advantage, authority, choice, claim, immunity, or exemption. And just looking at verse 1 in Proverbs 25, it says, "These are the proverbs of Solomon, which men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied." Remember, there, when you're reading through the Bible, it referred to, and there were 3,000 some other proverbs that were not written down by Solomon. So maybe these are some of those that they collected and put down for us right here. But the remainder of the book of Proverbs, chapters 25 through 31, were collected by King Hezekiah's assistants. And the first section was written by Solomon and next two by others. Many of these proverbs were directed towards a king or to the king or those who dealt with the king, but it's safe to say we all can learn from them because we all are, will be a leader or in some kind of leadership position, or we will be following the leader. And I'm talking about, guys, if you're a stay-home mom, that's a leadership position. That's a very valued position, okay? Okay? If you're on the job and you're not the boss, then, like it or not, you're subject to the literal king, okay? So there's certain things you need to understand when you're a boss and when you're not a boss. And we're going to see a lot of those things here today. And the book, chapter 31, ends with the description of a truly good wife, and we'll get to that probably sometime next year. Probably, let's see, June, we'll be done with our book of Proverbs, and then I think we'll go into Ecclesiastes. But one final note on King Hezekiah before moving on. 2 Chronicles 31:21 gives us this about him. It says, "Every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in keeping with the law and commandment, seeking and inquiring of his God and longing for him," I love this, "he did with all his heart and prospered." King Hezekiah. Now verse 2, "It is the glory or splendor or honor of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." God has the prerogative, exclusive right, okay, to conceal. And you say, well, why? He's God. He doesn't have to let us in on everything, okay? Sometimes it's for our own good. Sometimes it's for our good. Sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we are. But it's a king's duty is to get to the bottom of things. Deuteronomy 29:29, I've mentioned this verse before. It says, "The secret things belong to our God, but the things which are revealed and disclosed belong to us and to our children forever, so that we may do all the words of this law." Now, why doesn't God reveal some things? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But this I do know, that as we represent him, it's his reputation that's at stake, and it's ultimately ours or yours as a Christian. We do live in a land of liberty or freedom, although never forget what freedom is perfectly provided by the laws, rules, guidelines, and wisdom put forth by God. It initially has nothing to do with you, okay? Sometimes we think that it has everything to do with us. In fact, Oswald Chambers from September 28th in his devotional said, "Jesus' primary consideration is my absolute annihilation of my right to myself and identification with him." Okay? Strong words, but important words. It's his right to do so. Only then can his absolute complete work can be done in us. Secret and concealing a matter, like I said, you may or may not be ready to handle something, although it's up to God to decide, not to us. It's not up to us, it's up to him. So verse 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. We know that the heavens are high and the earth is deep, but how exactly high and deep, we don't know. But so the heart of the king is unsearchable. New Living Translation says, "No one can comprehend the height of heaven, the depth of the earth, or all that goes on in a king's mind." It's a good verse in regard to leaders. And you know, this is in regard to anyone in a leadership position. And speaking politically, I'm talking mayors, governors, even the president, okay? Guys, we don't know all that's going on in these situations. We like to think we do. Like we say, oh, I can't believe they did this or they did that. And I'm not saying, it doesn't say we can't question, but better yet, develop the habit of looking to God and waiting for Him and praying, like with the upcoming election. Guys, what do we need to do? We need to pray, okay? Amen. We need to pray, because who's in charge? God's in charge. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. You know, because you know the choices? I think there's been better choices in the last elections, Amen. Or a lot of last elections. We can pray that the heart of every leader is directed and held by God. That's what we need to do. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. So we don't know exactly what's going on, but we need to trust in the Lord. Verses 4 and 5, take away the dross from the silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do away with that which isn't pure, what isn't needed, cloudy, or wicked, and it will establish a firm foundation. We need a world that is ruled in perfect justice. That's what we need. So we need to get rid of those things that will prohibit that from happening. Verses 6 through 7. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he says to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. John Corson says, don't seek to be honored. If you take the best seat, you will be embarrassed if you're asked to move. Jeremiah 45:5, seek great things for yourself, the Lord asks. Seek them not. Turn over to Luke chapter 14. There's a story that Jesus gives himself in regard to this. Luke 14. Seemed like we're in Luke a lot today. We were in the Bible study this morning. If you want to join us in a couple weeks, we're starting a Sunday school study on the history of Christianity. Oh, yeah. 12 videos, so we look at a video, and then the next week we discuss it. So the history of Christianity should be really good. Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 7 through 11, so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Guys, there's places to lift yourself. There's really, in the kingdom of God, we're not to exalt ourselves. God says when he wants to do that in your life, he'll do it. Otherwise, just keep humble. And humility doesn't mean bashing yourself and putting yourself down. It's your worth in comparison to God, okay? It's not this, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not this. It's just this attitude that you know who you are because you know who the Lord is. The wonder of eternal life lies with finding and following God's wisdom, not trying to perfect that which is found within man. Guys, it's not a new thing, but a very necessary one, okay? Our worth is found in God. We don't be looking for this new thing. We need to be looking for the necessary thing, the necessary one, Jesus. And that's what we find here in Proverbs. Verses 8 through 10, do not go hastily to court, for what will you get? For what will you do in the end? When your neighbor has put you to shame, debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it exposes your shame and your reputation be ruined. The idea here is reconcile your differences and don't go to court. Because guys, if you think you have dirty laundry you don't want aired in public, and you're thinking, well, I got something on the other guy, so I'm going to take him to court, and you take him to court, guess what? Attorneys can be really nasty in digging stuff up, okay? And you won't come out looking very good no matter how clean you are. So you know what? Do all you can to reconcile it. And don't talk to others about it while you're... It's like, don't prepare your case against your opponent in the coffee shop, okay? With all your buddies. Because it's not a good thing to do, because all that is really glorified gossiping. Yeah, that's all it is. So do all you can, even as hard as it is. Now realize that the other side may not want to do it, but don't go around telling everybody all what went on. And this is a hard one. Some things just aren't for public consumption, either for what you have on other people or what they might have on you. Make peace, not tear to pieces. Some things just don't matter. The biggest principle is Jesus. He's the biggest one. He's the biggest principle in the matter, okay? He's the biggest one. That's what we need to remember. Verses 11 and 12, I love this one. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. I love that. A timely and fitting word is precious and pleasing, not only to speak, but to behold. Isn't it? When somebody just says that perfect thing to you, it just could be one word to make your day. It's like gold. It's like, and you wear it like jewelry. And people say, well, why are you so happy today? Somebody complimented me. Just one little word and you get to wear it for everybody to behold. And here's something that we all need to remember. 1 Peter 3:9, New Living Translation. If we all get better at this, the world will be a whole lot better place, because it involves building up, because tearing down is so easy to do. And there's a lot of Proverbs on that in this chapter. Peter said, do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. Not what Pastor Dave has called you to do. Not what your mom has called you to do. Not what the principal has called you to do. That's what God has called you to do. And look at, and He will bless you for it. Because when somebody does something to us, we just want to do it right back. But you know what? Return it with a blessing. Return it with a blessing. And sometimes a blessing is just to say nothing at all. If that's all you can do. Nobody but God has the right to demand, yet all of our souls need is to receive Him. And the world gets it wrong and truly believes that by destroying, here's the world. The world believes that by us destroying each other, and this is Satan's work, that it's a better place, okay? That we're all entitled to this, that, and the other thing. But all it's doing is knocking everybody down, destroying everybody. And the problem is that you end up with nothing worth value to build upon. Frank Peretti, in his book, The Nightmare Academy, I have a couple of his quotes today. If anybody's read Frank Peretti, he's some good books. He says, the truth is taken away from us. If the truth is taken away, then right and wrong are taken away as well. If we don't know right or wrong, then we won't control ourselves, but we will look to someone else to bring order through brute force and raw power. We will be controlled by a tyrant, and we will no longer be free. That's when you get rid of truth. Truth is the building of relationships between people in God's kingdom. And it starts with treating, talking, taking people, and just treating them right. And it's not defined by you, it's defined by God. Verse 13, like the cold of snow, there's that mention of snow. It's in the Bible here. I'm not just... Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, that's what we're having, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. When you're an employee, you should never view your boss as the enemy, okay? Especially if you're a Christian. You work for him, you listen to him, you respect him. Why? You decided to work for him, and he's paying you.
Amen.
Okay? Don't disrespect your boss ever, even though it's an easy thing to do, the lunchroom banner. Oh, the boss, he made me do this and that, you know. Yeah, I was the boss's son. Everybody hated me. I was guilt by association. Nobody talked to you in the lunchroom. Okay? There are a few people that learn to like you after a while. I don't know if they're trying to work their way up through the... But you know what? You know what? Guys, any job you take, especially as a Christian, yeah, you work twice as hard because you represent God. All right. You decide to work for somebody. If they give you $10 an hour or $1 an hour, you do the same amount of work, okay? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Don't complain. We can't fall into that. Solomon says these are God's wisdom and God's words, and he demands it because they refresh the soul. Look at this. It refreshes the soul of the master. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you want your boss to be happy? I would. You know, hey, my boss is happy. You know, makes it all better for everybody else. Whoever, verse 14, whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and winds without rain. Don't take credit for something done that you didn't do or had nothing to do with. That's what he's saying. It's nothing but emptiness, and it will find you out. Numbers 32:23, your sin will find you out. Amen. You don't get away with anything. Your sin will find you out. Amen. Verse 15, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. I love that, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Patience is ultimately persuasive, and a gentle answer gets the desired response. Turn back to Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Think of that. I get a kick out of this. I tell people, I just told some kids this in school this year. I tell people during marriage counseling, if you get in a fight, try to argue in a whisper. It becomes hilarious. You start laughing. You can't. Try it next time. If you get mad and you just start, you just say, let's argue in a whisper. You'll start laughing like that. The argument will be done. You'll forget what you're talking about. It's a soft answer, turns away. It deflects wrath. Does it work? I know it does. And we all know it does. But Satan wants us it's that elevation, and it's like that, man, it's like right here and right there. It does damage. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Verse 16, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Okay? This is linked to verse 27 in this one, but this one deals with the physical aspects of overindulging, and the other one, verse 27, is the spiritual. What he's saying is there's limits, and self-restraint is needed in all things. Because, man, honey is good. There's certain things we all like to eat. I always said, I wonder how much ice cream I could really eat. You know, a lot, but I would feel so sick afterwards. I just wouldn't do it. I know how many ice cream freeze things I'd get. I mean, I want to get to heaven. I'm going to say, how many, Lord, did I get in my life? Because I'd never learn. But it's, guys, in moderation, that's what he's saying. Do things in moderation. Verse 17, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. Don't overstay your welcome, okay? There's a reason why you have a place you call home and a place your neighbor calls home. It doesn't mean you can't go visit, but don't overstay your welcome. I used to watch Saturday Night Live, I think it was back in the 70s, dating myself, and there was a skit with John Belushi, the thing that wouldn't leave. And it was about a guy, do you remember? He'd visit the apartment and he would never leave. They're like, when is he going home? And he'd say, he never would leave. So that's about as funny as it was. That's what relatives, you're good. What time are you coming? When are you leaving? You know, how late are you staying? There has to be a limit. Make sure you set a limit when they come to visit. Verse 18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor, and here's what the damage that words can do, okay? they may, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will not. They do hurt. And look at how they hurt. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor or gossip and says things, is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. That's what words do to somebody. Amen. You get clubbed spiritually, you get stabbed, and you get pierced. Your soul does. That's what happens. And I can't say this enough. Be careful how you use your words. They hurt. They club, they cut, they pierce. And guys, most of us have seen gruesome pictures of someone beaten up physically, just beaten up and just bruised and bloodied. It's the same scene that your soul goes through when you say something mean to somebody. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It all comes down to you may not be able to control what others say to you, but you have no excuse for not controlling your own behavior. Absolutely none. It all goes back to you. Psalm 57:4, when David was fleeing from Saul. Remember, David was appointed king and he had to flee and hide in caves. He said, I am surrounded in Psalm 57:4. I'm surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. That's what he was saying he was going through while he was running. And he wasn't speaking of the physical. He was speaking of just the spiritual dimension of what he was going through. And anytime you're hurting others, you're taking a piece out of yourself to your own hurt. How do I know this? You can look up these verses, Jeremiah 25:7, Ecclesiastes 7:22, and Proverbs 3:7. It says you do these things to your own hurt, to your own hurt. It's self-inflicted. You think you're hurting someone else? All you really, it's making you feel better temporarily, but you're causing self-inflicted wounds. Verse 19, moving on. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. There's some funny ones today. Faith is only as good as its object, and an unfaithful man is useless, okay? There's no point of reference. Psalm 60, verses 11 and 12, he says, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. And one more, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I love that. Guys, our faith should be not in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Verse 20, like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. I think they just put that in there. They wanted me to say soda in my Wisconsin accent. No, not really. But it is in the Bible, okay? What this is saying is untimely cheerfulness is unbearable. And you say, well, I'm just trying to make you happy. Have you ever had that person when you just feel this, like, I'm just trying to make you feel happy, and you're just like, well, if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd really just like to, you know, just put you out of your misery because it's making me feel horrible. But what it's just talking about is an example, Daniel 6:18, okay? It said, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. This is when Daniel got thrown into the lion's den and he was really, you know, he was struggling with it. He's like, I didn't want to throw him in there, but I made this law that I had to abide by. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Okay? He was dealing with something that he had caused, and any kind of merriment just wasn't appropriate at that time. You know, it's almost like bringing in a mariachi band at a funeral. It's not very appropriate, okay? And that's what he's saying here. There's time, like Solomon, there's time for everything. Verse 21 and 22. If your enemy, these are tough. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Coals of fire, this doesn't refer to revenge, okay? Or punishment. But what it refers to is the agony or distress or pain or sting of shame that leads to reconciliation. Reconciliation. And it's not being smart or trying to get even kind of the underhanded way. Remember, as a believer, you always represent Jesus, and his was the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what he's saying here. When you're doing these things, you're inadvertently, you're ministering to the person's soul. You know, somebody that you really, and you don't have to be best friends with your worst enemy, but don't make them, you don't have to be your worst enemy to your worst enemy, okay? Give them reason to hate you. Be nice to them. Be kind to them. Go out of your way. And what you do is you start ministering to their soul, and they're like, this person is really different. They should hate me, but they're doing things for me. Yeah. You know, amen. I'm doing everything to get this person fired at work, but they're still helping me out. I don't understand it. You know, they're making me coffee. I really should be checking it to see if it's poison, but you know, they're making me coffee and they're giving me chocolates. I really should say, hey, you know, these are really good. You should have one too, just to make sure that they're not poison. But after they live a while and they realize that they're not, they're like, they are different. They do care. They don't have to get me these things. They don't have to do these things. That's what we do as Christians. We do things opposite of the world. Proverbs 24, 17, 18. Remember, God said, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. A backbiting tongue and angry countenance. That's all it brings, and it's not concerned about the first or last word spoken. It's all the same. The living Bible says, as surely as a wind from the north brings cold, just as surely a retort causes anger. That goes back to, if somebody says something to you mean, don't say something mean back. If you can't say anything, don't. Don't say anything at all. Just walk away. Verse 24, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now I'll just read a translation of this one and move on, because there's really not much I can say without getting in a lot of trouble, okay? It just says it's better to live in the corner of an attic than in a beautiful home with a cranky, quarrelsome woman. Okay? Guys, there's things we need to do. There's things we shouldn't do. Things you should say and not say. And that's all I'm going to say. Because anything else I'm going to say would just lead to trouble. I think we could figure this one all out. If you don't, you will pretty soon. Okay? Verse 25. As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Receiving good news from afar is good to the soul. Search it out, share it, and treasure it. It's always good to do. That's why I like having missionaries come in and share, or people share their testimonies. To me, it's like it's that cold water to the weary soul. That's what missionaries and testimonies do. Verse 26. A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. Proverbs 23:23 tells us, I love this one, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And this word buy means possess for yourself or own the truth and do not give it away. Why? Because as we just saw that from Frank Peretti, and we know from the truth, once you start exchanging the truth for lies, you don't know which is which, and everything becomes murky, and there's nothing to stand on. And that's what it's saying here. A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring in a polluted well. 2 Samuel 12:14, Nathan confronts David about his sin with Bathsheba. He said, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme him. He said, David, you've given, by your actions, great occasion for the enemy to come against the Lord. Murky waters. We don't want to do that. Verse 27. Here's the other part of that one verse. Verse 16, I believe it was, about honey. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Now, speaking of the spiritual things, don't look for what you think you deserve, or you'll miss what you need, okay? Like eating too much honey, boasting will make you sick. Boasting will make you sick. If you've done something great and you didn't get credit for it, you know what? I think as you get older, the less this should matter to you. The more you mature as a Christian, the less this should matter to you. You know, did I get credit for what I did? You know what? It doesn't really matter. Because who knows? God knows it. God knows it. You don't have to go blowing your own horn, okay? God knows what you did. He knows. Verse 28. Very good one to end on. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. If you can't control, I can't emphasize, if you can't control your temper or your spirit, you're like a city that has no defenses and it will lead to disaster. Not if, it will. One more quote by Frank Peretti from This Present Darkness. He said, I understand that sometimes the truth of God's word can become a divider, an irritation, a stone of stumbling. But that's only because it remains unchanged, uncompromising, and steadfast. And what better reason could there be to build our lives on such an immovable foundation? He says, to violate the word of God is only to destroy ourselves, our joy, our peace, our happiness. Proverbs, wisdom literature is what we need not to destroy, but lay as our foundation. Just wrapping this up. From Bits and Pieces, January 9th, 1992. For centuries, people believed that Aristotle was right when he said that the heavier an object, the faster it would fall to earth. Aristotle was regarded as the greatest thinker of all time, and surely he would not be wrong. Anyone, of course, could have taken two objects, one heavy and one light, and dropped them from a great height to see whether or not the heavier object landed first. But no one did this until nearly 2,000 years later, after Aristotle's death. In 1589, Galileo summoned learned professors to the base of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Then he went to the top and pushed off a 10-pound and a 1-pound weight. Both landed at the same instant. The power of belief was so strong, however, that the professors denied their eyesight. They continue to say Aristotle was right. Guys, we can't exchange the truth for a lie and expect no consequences, okay? You can't exchange a truth for a lie and expect no consequences. The example is gravity. You can't deny the law of gravity. You can, but you know what? There'd be consequences. Just like the laws of God, you can't deny right and wrong. Individually, each person gets to choose, although there's only one right answer to the question. You can't deny the question and God's guidelines without consequences in your life. Many want to deny the question, but the soul demands the only answer in Him, and that's God's prerogative. He created all. He knows all. He knows what's best for every person. Satan gets man to view God as marginal and His word as mere guidelines that can be crossed, and it's okay as long as you know it's kind of right, okay? That's what Satan does, you know, wink, wink. God knows. It's okay with him. Trust me, I know God. And it's not. From the beginning of our sermon, just finishing this up, do you want to survive? And I'm not talking living in the yada, yada, yada world, okay? Like you like to say it's a meaningless saying of life, but have a job, a relationship, family, school, that although may not be perfect, makes perfect sense and is surrounded by the perfect peace of God. Guys, it's all in God's word and in a relationship found only in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your guiding principles, Your words that give meaning in life. They're just not written down just to be written down. They're meant to be lived, to be learned, and Lord, to be exercised out of love. So Heavenly Father, as we read Your word, continue to guide us, strengthen us, and if we fall, Lord, we know You're there to pick us up, but let us move on and be more like You. We just thank You for being our God and for loving us, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up and worship.